My next guest is Janelle Jackson, head of U.S. ETF Capital Markets at Vanguard, who, of course, is one of the largest ETF issuers, currently offering 82 ETFs with nearly $1.8 trillion invested, including their most recent launch, the Vanguard Ultra Short Bond ETF, ticker symbol VUSB, which we will spend a few minutes discussing. I now have Janelle on the line with me from Pennsylvania. Janelle, it's an absolute pleasure. Thank you for joining me this week.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here and following up some crypto conversation. Now we've got Vanguard on the line.
Crypto conversation is always threaded through ETF Prime, for better or worse. Janelle, what I think when some investors hear U.S. ETF capital markets, which you oversee at Vanguard, that sounds a little bit intimidating. It's a pretty fancy name. And so I thought we'd start by pulling back the curtain a little bit on this area, because I think it's one investors should actually view as very client friendly, which we can certainly talk about why that's important in a moment. But let's start by having you explain what the capital markets team does. What are some of the functions here?
For sure. So to demystify the role of a capital markets desk, our mission is really to help investors have the best experience and achieve the lowest trading costs when they're buying and selling ETFs. So what we do at Vanguard is we partner with liquidity providers, that's market makers and authorized participants, to help them understand our products and processes so they can quote as tight to the basket as possible. That means providing the lowest possible price to clients who want to buy, and the highest possible price to clients who want to sell. We also educate users of ETFs on how to trade our ETFs, like hopefully I'm going to do today, pitfalls to avoid, and best practices unique to a client's specific situation or product interest.
You know, it's interesting because when I think about the Vanguard ethos, I think longer term, buy and hold, low cost investing, mm-hmm. but you're tasked with ensuring high quality day-to-day trading execution. Does that sort of put you in an odd position? Like, do you get dirty looks when you go to get coffee?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Not so much anymore. I think given the size of the desk, people are asking if I'd like to join them for coffee. So in the past, ETFs were really viewed as short-term instruments given intraday pricing and trading flexibility. But we've found that long-term investors have been just as attracted to the benefits of ETFs, especially recently given the rise of commission-free trading. It's really up to the individual investor and their unique preferences, their tax considerations, but we hope that whatever structure an investor chooses is, you know, a high-quality, low-cost solution to keep more money in their pocket and help them achieve positive investment outcomes.
Well, let's talk about some of those best ETF trading practices that you alluded to earlier. Obviously, the price you buy or sell an ETF at does factor into overall returns, even for longer-term investors.
Yeah.
What tips would you offer to the average retail investor or financial advisor?
Yeah, I could go on and on about this all day. So I'll start with the most important in case people zoom out at the end. But in general, one of the most important trading best practices for ETFs is thinking about the order type when you're placing an ETF order. So in general, using a marketable limit order instead of a market order. So marketable limit orders are limit orders that are placed slightly above the ask or offer when you're buying and slightly below the best bid when you're selling. So say a penny away from what that on-screen price looks like. The advantage here relative to a market order is that you have more price control and protection over where your trade's executed, but you'll still have some trading flexibility. Something else that is really important is the time of day that you're trading. So a couple of things to note here is placing orders on the open and into the close. So in general, trading in the morning, you may see wider spreads because price discovery is still going on in those underlying securities. Around the close, to some lesser extent, we've seen some asset classes like domestic equities receive good execution, but you'll still want to be thoughtful when you're trading other asset classes or maybe at the end of volatile days because there may still be some imbalances. So as an ETF investor, when possible, you should consider allowing some time to pass before trading in the morning, and you should be careful waiting until the last minute to trade large sizes into the close. For trading international ETFs, the time of day also really matters. So So it's important to think about trading international ETFs at times that coincide with the trading hours of those underlying securities' local markets. So the price of an international ETF tends to be closer to fair value, the value of those underlying securities, when the trading hours of the underlying markets and U.S. market overlap. So you think about the mornings until, say, around 11 or 11:30 Eastern Standard Time. Something else that's really important for trading best practices is being mindful of market events that could lead to spikes in volatility during the day. So if you take a look at an ETF on days when, you know, maybe there's a Fed announcement in the afternoon, so you'll typically see spreads widen out right around 2 p.m. as the market starts to digest information from whatever Jay Powell has said. And those spreads will usually revert right back to their normal levels in the next 30 minutes or so. But you could really lose out on cost advantages if you're trading during these volatile times. Something else just specific to advisors, you know, when in doubt, you can call a capital markets team for help. You know, reach out to your sales executive and have them get in touch with us. We're here to help you with best execution. If you've got a custodian's block trading desk or a high-touch desk, you know, they're really the pros, and they know how to reach out to us so that we can support large trades. And a common question that we get is around what really constitutes a large trade. You think about equities and average daily trade volume. It's not really the same for ETF given the creation redemption mechanism. So you should really take into consideration the liquidity of the underlying securities that make up that ETF basket. So if you're trading in size of maybe 5 to 10% of ADV, you might want to give us a call. And if you're trading over 10% of ADV, you definitely want to give us a call.
Can you expand a little bit on that last point? Because I do think that some investors will look at an ETF's average daily volume, and if it's pretty light, they'll just assume that maybe they can't get good trade execution, and so they just stay away from that ETF altogether. Can you talk a little bit more about that and maybe why that's not necessarily the route they need to go?
Yeah, I mean, this really goes to the role of ETFs as shock absorbers. So much of the trading in ETF goes on in the secondary market, which is what you'll see on screen, and that's what's really driving that ADV number. But what goes on with the creation redemption mechanism is that you can partner with a market maker, an AP, to create new shares of an ETF. So when you're trading on the secondary market or on exchange, you don't have to transact in those underlying securities. But if you're going to create or redeem in a product, you can even exceed a product's average daily trade volume because you're going out to transact directly in those underlying securities. The market maker will facilitate those trades on your behalf. So the average daily trade volume of that ETF may or may not be relevant given the liquidity of those underlying securities, because that's really what that market maker is trading on your behalf.
Going back to that first tip that you mentioned, using marketable limit orders, I feel like this is probably the most common tip that investors will hear when trading ETFs, and probably the most important tip overall. A question I have here is, any tips on striking that right balance between getting execution on a trade and paying a fair price? Because I've experienced firsthand where, let's say you'll set a limit order and that trade doesn't end up executing if the limit order is too tight, and then you end up chasing a price, right? So any tips on finding that right balance? I know you mentioned a penny above bid or ask, but I mean, how do you find that balance to make sure you get execution but also protect yourself?
Yeah, I mean, the protection that comes with a marketable limit order is probably the most important aspect of this trade order type. You know, if you do place a market order, that trade's going to get executed. If that's what's most important to you, that's why we probably still see investors use market orders. But we see a lot of investors get poor execution, or they're wondering where they may have overpaid if they're buying an ETF. It really depends on the volatility of the ETF during the day. If the price is moving around a lot, you may have to set that band a little bit wider than a penny away. To your point, that trade might not get executed if you're trading a cent or two away from the price. But it's just something to be mindful of as you're monitoring the price of this specific ETF. But we typically see positive executions. You know, if you're being mindful of the price, the volatility in the market in that day, and then, you know, determining what band is going to get your ETF order executed at a price you're comfortable with. That's what's most important.
You mentioned financial advisors, if they have, let's say, more significant trades, I don't know, in the millions of dollars, being comfortable calling the capital markets desk.
Yeah.
And I know every trade is different. As we just discussed, it's really driven by the underlying holdings in an ETF. But I just want to be clear here. I mean, is there any guidance you can provide for when it really makes sense to call the desk? Because I know some advisors may go, well, my trade's not really big enough to warrant that. I just want to be clear. When is a trade big enough to warrant calling a capital markets desk?
Yeah, I mean, it's not an answer that you can provide in dollars, just given the, you know, range of size, especially when you think about some of the Vanguard products. There'll be trades in, you know, the millions of dollars that can be executed without coming to the capital markets desk, just given the amount of volume that's traded and the liquidity of the products. Back to the conversation earlier that we were having about ADV, I would say if, you know, you're trading over 10% of that average daily trade volume, that's really where, you know, the size impact could help you have a stronger partner in that execution. We know the market makers who are active in our products and can get you the best pricing and the best execution. So at that point, that was when you would want to reach out to the capital markets desk.
All right. I want to talk about this new bond ETF here in a moment, but you mentioned ETFs as shock absorbers.
Yes.
And so while we're talking trading here, I would absolutely love to go back and very briefly get your take on what transpired in the bond market and bond ETFs a little over a year ago, right? Last March,
we saw
several bond ETFs, including Vanguard bond ETFs, trade at meaningful discounts. Mm-hmm. What was that experience like from your perspective? I mean, you were right in the middle of this. Did you walk away with anything new? Any takeaways?
Yeah, I mean, it was, oh, wow. There was just like a limited amount of sleep going on during last March. I think a lot of us still have some nightmares from thinking back to that time. But we really learned so much about, you know, market structure, about our products. You know, we hadn't experienced market-wide circuit breakers in a really long time. We had conversations about, you know, setting the right levels for limit up, limit down. And we really got to see all of these aspects of the ecosystem come to life during March of 2020. What we really learned then is what we've been saying for a long time was really proven out, is that the ETF ecosystem is really resilient. We saw ETFs maintain their liquidity during last year's market volatility. Buyers and sellers were still able to be matched despite stress in the markets for many of those underlying securities, specifically in the bond markets. So we saw investors who wanted to buy or sell ETFs were still able to do so throughout the market volatility, and that's why we really say we feel like ETFs prove their resiliency during that time. You know, the products are an important source of liquidity and price discovery, and we saw that. And back to the point that I made about ETFs really serving as shock absorbers, given the comments that I made about, you know, much of the trading really occurring on the secondary market on exchange, that meant buyers and sellers were trading shares of the ETF without having to transact in those underlying securities. So ETFs could really absorb that volatility by creating opportunities for traders to transfer risk quickly without affecting the underlying asset classes. So I'd say the overall lesson learned was ETFs did their job. I think there are opportunities for market structure as we think about bond markets specifically. So, you know, we'll continue to have those conversations so that investors continue to have positive outcomes when investing in ETFs.
What's interesting to me is that since that point in time, we've seen record demand for bond ETFs.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know some people like to point to the Fed coming in, but the Fed only bought $8, $9 billion in ETFs. Now, certainly they offered a lot of confidence to the market.
Exactly.
But do you feel like the way bond ETFs handled the market crisis last March, do you think that's been a contributing factor to this record demand for bond ETFs, just in that perhaps investors do have more confidence in the structure now? They know they can rely on it in all types of markets.
Absolutely. And we saw that by investors putting their dollars into bond ETFs last year. So we saw 40% of industry inflows go to bond ETFs. And we've still seen positive inflows into bond ETFs in the first quarter of this year, even with some funds posting negative returns, giving rising rates. Something else that's been interesting for us at Vanguard is to see, you know, some newer products coming to market, some thematic products, but we're still seeing the highest cash flow go into, you know, the broadly diversified core bond products. And as an issuer, we've seen nearly half of all flows in the first quarter come to Vanguard fixed income ETFs.
All right, so that is a perfect segue. We have a few minutes left here. Let's talk about this ETF that just launched a few weeks ago,
Yeah. The
Vanguard Ultra Short Bond ETF, ticker symbol VUSB. To me, I just feel like it's noteworthy anytime Vanguard launches a new ETF, just because these aren't a dime a dozen, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Vanguard's very meticulous with new launches. And if I'm not mistaken, Vanguard has never closed an ETF. Is that correct?
That is correct in the U.S. This fund, we've heard the demand from our clients for a long time. We're always very thoughtful about our approach to product research and product launches. So Vanguard launched the Ultra Short Bond Fund BUSB on April 7th, and we've already seen inflows of around $350 million. The product's been around a little under 3 weeks at this point, so we view that as a pretty successful launch. You know, we've seen a lot of growth in this space just given the current yield environment. And our product team's really done a great job of describing this product and how investors can use it. So people often ask if this is an instrument to replace the use of a money market fund. And we think the role this product plays in a portfolio is really to meet a gap between savings and investments. So if you think about applying time periods to these definitions, say you use 6 months for your savings and utilize a money market product for that cash. Your investment portfolios for periods beyond this, but if the duration on, you know, a short treasury fund is, say, 18 months, you're missing that exposure to the 6 to 18 month time frame. And that's the part of your portfolio where you could utilize a product like VUSB.
Well, and we're not into making market calls on this podcast, but I think one of the concerns that investors have right now is the potential for rising rates. We saw a little bit of that earlier this year. And so if you have that concern, looking to the shorter duration, you know, segment of the ETF market could be a good place to, you know, quote unquote, hide out, mm-hmm. if that is something that you're worried about. And also I wanted to note, so this is the first actively managed bond ETF from Vanguard, but this is a similar strategy and I believe the same management team as the Vanguard Ultra Short Term Bond Mutual Fund. Is that correct?
That is correct. I mean, back to your point about, you know, concerns around the current rate environment, that's one of the considerations that we made when we determined, you know, we wanted to launch an active product. So some of it was investor preference in this space, and then you also have this component of exposure. So we view ultra short as falling into two main category groups. One is being credit focused, and the other is, you know, government and money market focused. So that's where you tend to see more conservative index-based products. With lower yield, and you've seen some lower returns there. Our product's going to fall on the credit side, so we'll have more corporate exposure, and our duration's a bit longer. And why we did that is because we wanted to offer potential downside protection to buffer against widening spreads in a market downturn. So our active approach provides flexibility between exposure to credit and interest rate risk.
And again, in typical Vanguard fashion, the fee on this ETF is 10 basis points, which if you look at the average expense ratio for ultra short-term bond ETFs just as a category, it's 22 basis points. Janelle, congratulations on the launch of VUSB. Really enjoyed the conversation this week and certainly hope we can visit again soon. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Nate. It was great.
That was Janelle Jackson, head of U.S. ETF Capital Markets at Vanguard.